Somewhere out there. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Noring.
Well, he deals with ancient mysteries, secret societies. His name is Jordan Maxwell, and he will be our guest in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jordan Maxwell is a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of the occult and religious philosophy. He served for 3.5 years as the religion editor of Truth Seeker magazine, America's oldest free thought journal. His work on the subject of secret societies, both ancient and modern, and their symbols, has fascinated audiences around the world for decades, including me, because I saw Jordan speak once about a year ago in San Jose. He has conducted dozens of seminars, hosted his own radio talk shows, appeared on more than 600 radio shows, and written, produced, and appeared in numerous television shows and documentaries. Much of his work is devoted to understanding ancient religions and their pervasive influence on the world affairs today. Our guest on Coast to Coast, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, how are you?
Well, very good, George. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. You know, we, under very strange circumstances, by the way, we lost someone, I guess, this week, Jim Arthur.
Yeah, it's a very dear friend of mine, and I'm aware of some of the circumstances, but I don't think I really care to talk any more about the subject than what everyone already knows. He was found hanging in his jail cell, I guess it was, and under suspicious circumstances. So, but whatever.
Yeah.
We move on.
We move on. We move on indeed.
Well, I do think it's interesting, though, and I'm sure you have picked up on it, that we seem to be losing very valuable people who are like the
Gene Malov, John Mack. I mean, that's three that come to mind just right away.
And what about all the biologists?
Oh my God, 50 plus.
Yeah, I mean, what does that tell you? There's something going on here. What?
There's a strange connection to a lot of things, Jordan.
I'm sure.
Well, on to other things, of course. Hey, your reaction, by the way, today with this Pope and all this talk of prophecy. And, of course, you've studied ancient religions and philosophy. What do you think of all this?
Well, and also I was born and raised a Catholic. And we were a very, very Catholic family in my hometown. And then my mother's aunt and uncle were very important Catholics and always going to Rome, and so we were raised Catholic, and so I would never condemn my own mother and my own father and my own family, but I'm telling you there's something else going on here that people don't know, and I'm sorry to see the Pope die, but there's a lot more going on at the Vatican than meets the eye, and this new Pope was no surprise to me. It doesn't surprise me at all. But anyway, I mean, I don't want to our first telephone calls to be Catholic. Catholic bashing.
Yeah, we don't want to do that at all. Not that you are.
No. But if you mention anything anymore, people quickly want to put you in a box and say, "Oh, okay, I know who he is." But you know, I started questioning theology and religion at a very early age. When I was, I'll give you an example, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I was being a little kid in confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fourth grade.
Yeah, whatever it was. And so we were told, I was going to Catholic school, and then we were told that tonight, after the bishop is through with the ceremonies, that he might possibly ask if any of the children, now that they're confirmed Catholics, if any of the children might have a question. And the nuns told us, do not ask any questions, period. You just sit quiet. So that night, after the events, after the ceremonies were over, sure enough, the bishop did say, well, if there are any questions, I will try and answer them. I stood up and said, yeah, I have a question. I said, my father works with torches. He's a welder. And I said, if there was an angel standing next to me, could I take a torch and burn him? Would it hurt him if I hit him with the torch? And the bishop, there was all quiet in the church. It was a huge church, and everything was quiet. And the bishop said, "Well, I don't understand what you're saying." I said, "It's simple. If I have a torch and an angel appears, could I hurt him by burning him?" And he said, "Well, of course not." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, I mean, fire is a physical thing. You need paper or wood or something to burn. You can't burn an angel." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, angels are spirits. You can't burn a spirit." And I said, well, then why am I concerned about going to hell when my spirit will burn if you can't burn a spirit? And so the priest looked at me and gave me the motion, sit down and shut up. And so from that day forward, I began to suspect there's more to life and that God is too big for one religion.
And you continue to stand up, and nobody's been able to keep you quiet, Jordan Maxwell.
Oh, I just love wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and I'm fascinated with the concept of a divine presence in the universe, because I am totally, in that way, a believer. I am totally committed to the idea that we are being guided by a higher divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't have any problem with that spiritual concept at all. I highly respect the atheist and the humanist and all of the other people who have different points of view. I highly respect all of that. But for myself, I am totally convinced that there is a spirit world all around us.
There's no doubt about that. I had the luxury of meeting you last year, Jordan, face-to-face at a conference in San Jose when they called you up and gave you an achievement award, a lifetime achievement award for your work. And I have been to a lot of different kinds of events, Emmy events, conferences, programs. I have never witnessed more admiration for one person in all my life from the people who were there to watch you get that award.
Yeah, and as you know, it was very emotional for me, because I also was rather taken back at the outpouring of genuine love and the things that were said, and I didn't know how to take it. You know, I was just thinking I'd go up and get an award and thank you, but when I began to see, and I have to tell you, I was also rather nervous. I see you and Tom Danheiser sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow, man, this is trippy stuff for me. I mean, here I've got George Norrie here and Tom Danheiser. And then, of course, when, who was it, Escamilla?
Jose.
Jose Escamilla. When he yelled out in the audience, you're the man, remember?
Yep.
Oh, that really, it was a wonderful night. And it did, as I said that night, and I'll say it again, it was a wonderful thing as far as I'm concerned, because I have been doing what I'm doing for so many years, and I have begun to feel that, you know, I'm just doing this for myself. Nobody else is listening. But it takes times like that when you appreciate that there are people who are hearing you and people who do care about you.
Yeah, that was the night I met Hilly Rose as well, and invited him back to fill in for me every once in a while on Coast to Coast. So
it was
a great reunion there. A good man.
Very good man. Good man.
You learn a lot from your peers, and he's another one of them. Yeah, you know, between him and Art Bell, all you got to do is sit back and take notes, and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, Abraham Lincoln once it was quoted as saying, to be truly wise is to choose one's company and listen.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And a lot of people are starting to do that, of course, with you, because they have seen what you did. You know, and though there's a lot of things I want to talk with you about tonight, Jordan, I want to talk with you about secret societies for a while. This is something that's been on my mind for a long time, whoever they may be. This group that's out there trying to control this planet.
And you're doing a good job, too.
Well, they sure are. And, you know, yes, it's money. And I sometimes wonder, how much money do you have to make to be happy? I mean, if you got a zillion dollars, why do you need a zillion more? What do they want, Jordan? What do they
really
want?
Well, there might be another guy who's got a zillion, so you got to buy him out, you know. I don't know. It's lunacy as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, it's the same story over and over again. We never learn from, who was it, Santayana, who said that if you are not going to learn from history, you're going to make the same mistakes again. And I'm just amazed at how much, the thing that bothers me more than anything is how much we people, especially in this country, we just are not knowledgeable. We don't know. We don't understand how things work. And what the words mean and what the symbols mean. I mean, in the big cities, when you see gangs spray painting their graffiti on a wall, people driving by, adults driving by, have no idea. It's just a disgrace, but it's just graffiti. But no, it's not just graffiti. There's a message there. And if you know how to read those messages, if you know how to read those symbols, that can be deadly. It can be very, very deadly if you don't know what you're doing. If you go to China and you don't understand the language, then don't go driving until you understand the symbols, because symbols and words are how we communicate. And if you don't know how to read the symbols and the words of the secret societies throughout the world, you're never going to figure out what the name of the tune is and how this thing is coming down, how we are being played for fools, who is printing our money, where is it going, who is really in control. It is an extraordinary story of betrayal of the human family to keep us ignorant.
And it's been going on for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm frightened because I pretty much have decided for myself where we're going as a country and ultimately the world, and it's frightening to me. I'm 65 years old now, and I now look back on the past 45 years of traveling around the country, if not around the world, to talk to people who are involved in the research of secret societies, occult orders, cults, general mysticism in government. And the more I began to look and see it's what is called pattern recognition. When you begin to see the same symbols and emblems and words, it becomes frightening. Because it's all there in front of you. You just don't know what you're looking at.
Are these people, Jordan, just whacked out? Are they crazy?
No, I believe that they are highly religious. They are profoundly spiritual and highly religious. Even the leaders of the Communist Party, the communism as a philosophy was an extremely religious concept. Nazism, and that's one of my favorite subjects. Nazism was a profoundly important religious concept. And if you don't understand Nazism's religious implications, then you're never going to figure out what's going on the world today, and the wars that are going on around the world, the racism, the banking. I mean, it's all a very, very big story, and I need about 8 hours to sit down and start, because you can't do justice to this subject, obviously. because it's been going on for thousands of years, and you can't, you know, capsule it all into a few words. But basically, I would say if you really are interested, and there's a lot of people who are now becoming more interested in the secret societies, and I've been doing it since 1960.
Would you say that's your focus, your main focus, secret societies, in your work and research now?
I think, well, not now. It has been. But now, no. I'm actually not even talking much about secret societies anymore, because I was doing that the day John Kennedy was assassinated. I was on my way downtown Los Angeles in 63. I was on my way downtown Los Angeles to deliver a small group a lecture on the secret societies behind world governments and religion, and the and then I heard that Kennedy had been assassinated. So we're talking about over 40 years ago that I was talking about this. And then in 1966, Anthony Hilda came out with a series of records by Myron Fagan on Illuminati. I don't know if you are aware of that set of records or tapes. I'll make you a copy.
Okay, please, Jordan, yeah.
But that was back in 1966 that a very, very powerful and brilliant man named Myron Fagan came out with a fascinating three-hour record set, which I said Anthony Hilda produced it, on the subject of secret societies and the Illuminati. Now, that was the first time that the word Illuminati had ever been used in public. And I know, because I was out researching and beating the bushes since 59, and I'd never heard of it.
And you didn't have the internet then.
No. Now, of course, it's everywhere. When I first heard the records of Myron Fagan talking about Illuminati, I got excited, because many of the things he was saying now fit what I was into already, which was the general, at that time in the 60s, I was very interested in the Roman fascism and its implications in world religion, and especially as Roman fascism is used in the Nazi movement. And so I was really into that kind of thing. And then I began listening to the records, and I thought, wow, man, here's what I'm looking for. Well, since that was in 1966, as I said, in early 67, I began talking around Los Angeles, Hollywood. I did a lot of lectures at motion picture studios, and people who knew me, you know, would invite me to come.
Sure.
Speak at the, you know, little private things over at this studio or over at that studio, and this producer called me and said, would you come over and, you know, we'll have dinner, and I just want you to come to the studio. We'll tell security you're coming. And I would go and sit in these major studios and talk with people behind the scenes about Illuminati, secret societies, etc. And I just love the work. I love knowing. I love researching and studying it, and people were interested. I never charged anybody anything, but I just enjoyed doing what I do.
Did people believe you, Jordan, when you would talk about these secret societies?
Yes, actually, that's interesting. Yes, even back then, you know, because they saw the seriousness of the way I took it, and, of course, the things which I was showing them, the pictures, the documents, the encyclopedia pictures and dictionary definitions, and I would lay it all out for about 3 hours. Back in 63, I was laying out 3- and 4-hour presentations on the use of words by the secret societies and how they use their terms and words and symbols and coats of arms and heraldry and flags.
Why is that all so important to them, Jordan?
Well, it's a communication. It's a worldwide communication. You know, all professions, neurosurgeons, auto mechanics, any and all professions of the world, including we radio talk show hosts, we have our own vernacular and our own lingo and our own terms, and we understand if you're in the business. And so all professional groups have their own tongue, their own language, and they know what they're saying, and nobody, and, you know, children even do it. Kids can sit right in front of their parents in the front room talking to another kid on the phone, and using the slang of the modern day, the parents have no idea in the world what the kids are actually saying with their slang. And so that's the same thing. Well, yeah, if I went to a neurosurgeon convention, I'd be totally lost. I don't know what they're talking about. They all are excited about some new discovery, and I don't even know what they're talking about.
Somehow I think you'd be able to figure it out, Jordan.
Well, so I've been around a long time. But then when you begin to look at, wait a minute, Adolf Hitler kept saying this, and that, and Stalin said the same thing. And now I'm looking at Benito Mussolini, and he's using the same identical symbols, using the same identical words, and now something called pattern recognition begins to take place.
Well, tell me when we come back, Jordan, if you're seeing that pattern recognition today. And also, I want to talk about this group, the Illuminati. I mean, is it true? Is there going to be worldwide population control? And how are they going to do it? And there's much more. He's a scholar and a gentleman, Jordan Maxwell. His website, jordanmaxwell.com. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Children drunk lemonade, and the morning lasted all day, all day. And through an open window came, like Sinatra in a young bouquet, pushing the town away.
Coast to Coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, I could just sit back for hours and talk with Jordan Maxwell about everything, and that's what we're going to do. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines next hour to give you an opportunity to. He truly is one remarkable human being. You know, Jordan, I'm serious. You're the kind of person that you want to just invite over. You pull a bottle of wine out and say, tell me everything about the planet. Tell me.
Well, give me a call, and I'll be there.
You have heard, as I have heard, that this group, the Illuminati, we'll call it that now, would love to get the population reduced from its 6 billion to 500 million. Is that true, or is this a myth, Jordan?
Well, I would think. And I wasn't, I haven't been privy to be at any of these meetings, so I don't know. But I would think that there is some truth to that, because obviously, if we're intellectually honest, you know that the planet is growing. And it's, we only have so much topsoil left on the Earth, and people are being cutting down trees. We've only got so much oxygen. So we are unfortunately killing ourselves little by little, and yet we keep reproducing more and more people and larger countries. And somewhere along the line, there's going to come a time when we're going to be in serious trouble. And I think the powers that be behind the throne already know that. And they know that something's got to be done, because we're running out of fresh water, food.
Is it survival, or is this sick planning on their part?
Well, a little bit of both. You talk about Illuminati. The first time, I believe that the first time we see that word Illuminati was applied to Jesuits. The Catholic Jesuit order in Portugal and Spain were referred to as, in the Spanish, which translates to Illuminati. And so when you talk about Illuminati, you're actually talking about theology, religion. And when you're talking about religion in the occult world, now you're getting into the really interesting stuff. Words are very, very important. We are word control creatures. Words cause you to have emotions. They cause you to get in trouble.
Absolutely.
So, you know, words are very important. Let me give you an example of how the masters behind the world throne have manipulated us with words.
Okay.
A classic example is right here in America. Did you know that by law, according to maritime admiralty law, you cannot pay a bill in America?
I did not know that. Nobody told me that. I pay them all the time.
Well, in point of fact, you're not paying a bill. You are discharging a debt. Let me give you an example.
All right.
If I hire you to paint my car and you say I'm going to charge you $100, I said, all right. When you are through with the job, you come to me, you give me a bill, correct? I mean, if you buy a pair of shoes, you're going to get a bill.
Invoice, whatever, yeah.
Of course. I want to see what it is you did and how much it cost you and what am I paying you, so write it out on a bill. Now, when you hand me the bill for $100, I look at it and I say, okay, looks good. I reach into my pocket and I pull out a $100 bill.
Bill.
And I give you a bill.
Yeah.
So what have I done? Well, look it. Now you owe me $100. I gave you a bill, and of course you gave me a bill, so why don't we just call it even?
You cancel it out.
That's it. So that's all our money is a discharging of debt. And it's just like walking across the carpet and building up electricity in you, and then you touch a piece of metal and it discharges. That's why when you're in the military, you get discharged. And since you are a bioelectrical unit and you're over 90% water, you are, by law, referred to as a maritime admiralty product. You are a product of water. Well, you were.
That's true. All
and
right.
Consequently, if you, you're a biological bioelectrical unit, and therefore if you get in trouble financially, you are in what we call hot water.
Yes, that's
true, too. And therefore, somebody has to bail you out. Yeah. And if you don't get bailed out, like any other battery, you're going to sit in a cell. And consequently, you begin to see how the words are used in commerce and law. And it's fascinating how much we don't know. I mean, people go to court every day and have no idea in the world why we call it court. You play basketball and tennis on a court. How do you play tennis on a court? Well, you play with a racket. And consequently, in the court, what is the whole idea when you go to court? Well, that whole idea in a court is to put the ball back in the other guy's court. And so you got this one team of attorneys, and they throw the ball back over the other side, and that team gets up and throws the ball back in your court. And the judge is a referee. This is why when he walks out, everyone rises. And this is why he's wearing a black robe, because black robes were the symbol for the planet Saturn, because the judge represents the planet Saturn. Saturn is called Lord of the Rings. And I think to myself when I'm watching all of this happening around me, my God, this is fascinating, off-the-wall stuff that's going on all around us. So we don't even know what these words mean. Why does the judge wear a black robe?
Who knows?
Well,
yeah.
What does it mean? It's fascinating when you get into symbols and words and terms, and this is the same reason why, when you graduate, which is incidentally, graduate comes from two words, gradually indoctrinate, and consequently you graduate and you come out with a square mortarboard. Now, how many people graduate with square mortarboards and have no idea in the world what the square mortarboard is?
Probably all of them, Jordan.
I know. And why is there a tassel on the mortarboard? Well, that's just for design. No. all of this means something. Why is a Egyptian pyramid on the back of the $1 bill?
And the eye above it.
Do you want to know what that eye and that pyramid actually, in point of fact, represents?
Yes, I'd like to hear it from
time.
You.
Would you like to hear it for very first time?
Uh-huh.
The bottom line is this. In the Old Testament, both in the book of Isaiah and once in the book of Psalms, the Messiah, not Jesus, but Messiah, in the Old Testament is referred to in a Hebrew word called, that is translated, chief cornerstone. And so consequently, twice in the Old Testament, the Messiah is referred to as a chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. Then twice in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone. Well, the word in the Aramaic and Greek and the Hebrew all means the same thing. It means a triangle point on top of a pyramid. That's what the Bible symbol of the Messiah is. A triangle perched on top of a pyramid in Hebrew is called chief cornerstone.
And that's what is on
our
money.
And that's what it means. That's what it means on your money. That is the symbol of the Messiah of the Old Testament and the coming of God's Son to rule the world and God's kingdom. And, wow, man.
And they just leak it in like that, and nobody really knows it.
Nobody even suspects. And I did a two-hour PowerPoint presentation up in San Francisco on that one subject, 2 hours of documents. And, of course, it was laborious, and people got tired because I'm always being told, you'd be surprised how many times I'm told when I'm through with a presentation, well, you didn't bring this out, you didn't bring that out, you could have talked about this or that. And I said, look at, well, I got an hour, well, I got 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if this is all symbolism, Jordan, and nobody knows it, why'd they do it in the first place then?
It's an in-house thing.
Ah.
It's an in-house gesture.
It's for their own benefit.
Yes, yeah. It's an in-house communication. And the secret societies, both in Europe and around the world, know that that symbol on the back of the dollar bill, they know what it really means. They know that we don't, but they know what it actually means.
Do they communicate with each other through symbols?
Without a doubt. No doubts about that at all. They have certain emblems and symbols, and when the President of the United States speaks, he's not talking to you. He's talking to other world leaders who know who he is mm-hmm. and what he represents. So it's a wonderful world of illusion, words and terms. And you were talking about electricity at the break.
Yeah.
Electricity, that's fascinating. Did you know that the planet Saturn was called El in the ancient Phoenician system, which we call today that a whole area of Israel, Lebanon, was called Phoenicia, and it's called the land of Cana, but the people were Phoenicians. And in that ancient culture, they worshipped the planet Saturn. And consequently, Saturn in the old Phoenician system was called El, E-L. And consequently, if you still today worship the planet Saturn, you are called an elder, because you got elected through an election. Now you are one of the elites. And how did you get all of this? Well, you got the juice, the electricity, the very powers of the universe, El. El is the planet Saturn. They make movies about him. Saturn was referred to as the Lord of the Rings. Of course he's Lord of the Rings, and they're still making movies in Hollywood about Lord of the Rings.
And this symbolism stayed with us for thousands of years.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. The Greeks had it, the Romans had it, the British had it, and they gave it to us, and we're still running around using terms and words that haven't got the faintest idea in the world.
Well, you know, I mentioned, it must have been 5 months ago, we were talking about plagues and disease on this program, Jordan, and I mentioned that, about the old phrase, dead ringer, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And I kept saying, I wonder where that came from. People started sending me fast blast messages that apparently, now you tell me if this is true, that when people would die during the bubonic plague period, they would attach like a little bell to them on the inside, maybe on their toe or something. And if they were alive,
that's right. If they were alive, they could move their feet, and then
you hear the dead ringer.
Yeah,
is that true?
Well, I've heard that same story. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. It makes sense to me.
Symbolism again.
Yeah,
you know, you hear these things come through over the ages, and nobody really knows where these things came from.
Of course. As a matter of fact, you know, on this planet, there are only two things. There's Earth and water, period. And consequently, there is only two kinds of law on the Earth. There's the law of the land and the law of water. Most people have heard the term law of the land, and they have just assumed that's a phrase that's used to represent the laws governing your country. It's the law of the land.
Or your city or whatever.
Yeah. No, not at all. You're totally wrong. No, law of the land is a term used in maritime admiralty commerce. It is a very, very important word, law of the land, as opposed to law of the water, law of the sea.
Two distinctive laws, I guess.
Totally different laws. Now, law of the land goes back to what we call Latin civilian or civil law. Incidentally, the word civil goes back to the Iles. The Iles were the gods of the ancient world called Iles, and they lived up on the hill, H-I-L-L, and that's a whole story.
See, what fascinates me is the fact that these things are carried down over so many years.
Yeah, thousands of years, and we still use the same term. Do you know that Julius Caesar, the Caesars of Rome, do you know where their seat of power was in the Roman Empire? In Rome, the seat of power for the Caesars was called Capitol Hill. And they went up on the hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, and consequently, well, what did they go up on the hill for? Well, they went up on the hill to officiate over the Senate. And this is why they always had a dome. Why churches and by government buildings in the capitals always have a dome.
That's
because it goes back to the word domus. And domus gives us our word to dominate, domineering, domesticate, Dominican, domus. The word has a meaning, and that's why you have a dome over the Vatican, which is the same dome you have over the U.S. Capitol, because the word capital simply means money. It's an extraordinary world of hidden words and terms and symbols, and I'm telling you, when you really have time to sit down, as we would love to do probably another program, and just sit down and look at all of the words that are used in law and government and finance and banks. And why do you have a bank? Where do you find a bank? Well, first of all, when you go to a court, you have the judge who rules from the bench. Do you know what the word bench means in Latin?
No.
The word bench is a bank.
Huh.
And so therefore, where do you find banks? Well, you find banks on both sides of a river. It's called a river bank. What does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency.
Uh-huh. Good point.
I'm telling you, there's a whole world of occult, hidden words and terms and symbols that have been built up for thousands of years that are being used around the world, and the people have no idea in the world what's going on.
Now, the fact that all these words are being used, somebody will say, okay, Jordan, so what? So I use these phrases, and I don't know what they mean, but I know what they mean to me. I know that when I talk about currency, I'm talking about my money, what I get from my job. How do you answer these people when they don't know these things?
Well, I would simply say all of that is true and it's not important until you are subpoenaed to court and have to go into a federal court and are arrested 2 o'clock in the morning under arrest, and now you've been charged with a heinous crime or something, and now you're going to be tried before a court. Now you need to get some money and buy an attorney. Why? Because you don't know what the world is going on now. You better know what the words mean, and you better know what the charges are. And this is why when a policeman pulls you over, he writes you out a ticket, because now you go into court, and they're going to charge you, just like with a credit card. They're going to charge you. And consequently, if you don't know how the system works, you are a sitting duck. So this is why education and knowledge is so important. And I'll tell you something else, George. This is not this kind of knowledge is not important until you get in trouble.
That's true.
Now, once you're in trouble and there's a war going on and people are dying, or your father is going to prison, or somebody has made a charge and there's a major capital crime, now you need to really sit down quickly with somebody who knows what they're doing and knows what the meaning of the words are, knows how the court works, and knows what to say. And this is why when you walk into a court, you have a fence and a gate. How many people have ever wondered what a fence and a gate is doing in a courtroom and what it means?
You know what? The more you think about it, you're right. You see on television this little wooden gate all the time, or court TV or something like that.
Why?
I don't know why. I mean, architecturally, I have no idea why they put it there.
Very good reason why they put it there. It divides maritime admiralty water, the law of the sea, from the law of land. This is why when you go out to the beach, you will have something called a sandbar. And the sandbar breaks the waves as it comes in and hits the shore so that the water doesn't come too far onto land. And so it's a sandbar. This is why the attorneys have to pass the bar. So when you put your hand on the gate, you are passing the bar, and you're not licensed to pass the bar. Because it is the sandbar that divides the law of water, which is the court, from the law of the land, which is the people.
And I always thought they did it because it just looked good.
Funny of... No, government does not do anything because it looks good.
No.
Understand this, that all of Europe, most of Europe, America, and Britannia, all these countries of the Western world are basically a Druidic country. We are basically a Druidic society. And unless you understand the word Druid and understand the theology and the religion of the Druids, you're never going to figure out anything about America and Europe and what's going on in the world today.
Does that include Freemasonry, or am I way off base here?
No, that's very, very germane to the whole subject. Yeah, we can get into that later.
All right, let's do that when we come back at the top of the hour. We'll also open up the phone lines with our very special guest tonight, Jordan Maxwell. His website, JordanMaxwell, Jordan Maxwell. Gonna have to ask Jordan what those two words mean, Jordan Maxwell. But we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.